Good morning. In some of the headlines this morning, Anchorage police say a dive team has found a body believed to be that of a coffee shop worker who vanished February 1st. Police said last night that a body believed to be that of 18-year-old Samantha Koenig was recovered from Matanuska Lake north of Anchorage. Surveillance video on the night Koenig was last seen showed her being led away from her coffee stand. Police say they believe the Anchorage woman died within hours of her abduction. The Coast Guard is continuing to track that squid boat that was cast out to sea from last year's earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Chief Petty Officer Janelle Webster at the command center here in Juneau says the derelict vessel is now about 170 miles west of Dahl Island, or the southwest corner of Prince of Wales Island. Webster says a C-130 aircraft did an overflight Saturday and yesterday. Another flight may be conducted today to check on the condition of the vessel named the Ruanmuru and believed to be 150 feet or 180 feet long. A notice to mariners has been issued for any other traffic in the area to be aware of the unmanned ghost ship, which has no operating lights. Debris from the tsunami, such as oyster buoys, have already been reported ashore along the southern coast of Alaska. So far, this is the first and only ship that's been cast adrift, or at least spotted cast adrift, across the Pacific Ocean. Opening arguments are planned for today in the case of a Juneau man charged with firing a handgun that wounded another man in December. 36-year-old Kenneth Nalen is being charged with felony assault. Prosecutors say Nalen shot a friend, 33-year-old John Duran, with a .357 caliber handgun. It happened during a get-together at Nalen's house in the valley just before Christmas. Duran required facial reconstruction surgery after he was shot. After nearly 5 hours of voir dire, or questioning potential jurors yesterday, a six-man, eight-woman jury was seated. Two jurors will be randomly selected as alternates and excused just before deliberations get underway. After the newly seated jury had been excused for the day yesterday, public defender Eric Hedlund suggested that he may make a case for a form of self-defense during that incident. Governor Sean Parnell supports a proposal that would expand Alaskans' right to use deadly force as a means of self-defense, despite concerns raised in the past by members of his own administration. Current law only covers such cases when a person is at home or work. Members of Parnell's administration previously spoke against the measure proposed by Big Lake Representative Mark Newman. In 2010, then-Attorney General Dan Sullivan said the proposal would encourage the needless taking of human life. The Department of Law's Annie Carpinetti said the administration was concerned and confused by the proposal. The proposal died that year, and Newman introduced a slightly retooled version last year. Last week, current Attorney General Michael Garrity said the bill has merit, and a Parnell spokesperson said the governor supports the new bill. A Fairbanks woman has been charged with submitting fraudulent signatures for the Alaska Coastal Management Program initiative. Deborah A. Carroll faces five felony and misdemeanor charges, including forgery, unsworn falsification, and perjury. Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello is chairman of the Alaska Sea Party, the group behind the Coastal Management Initiative. He says group officials noticed the forgeries the night before submitting their petition books to the State Division of Elections.
It was quite evident, just as a layperson looking through, that the signatures, the handwriting throughout, looked suspiciously similar, so we withheld it. The following week, I delivered this booklet to the Office of Special Prosecutions, and they in turn delivered it to the state troopers for an investigation that resulted in a criminal complaint.
The charges were originally announced by Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell's office, which erroneously said Carroll was hired by the Sea Party. Botello says the group did not have a direct relationship with Carroll. She was employed by consultant Scott Kohlhaas, who organized much of the group's signature gathering effort in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and the Mat-Su. Botello says one isolated incident should not diminish the efforts of dozens of volunteers who collected nearly 30,000 valid signatures in less than a month to put the Coastal Management Initiative on this year's ballot.
Throughout the process, I frankly had expected that our signature gatherers would bring integrity to the process, and 99.5% of them did.
Carroll is scheduled to be arraigned in Fairbanks Friday, April 13th. Before closing last year, the Alaska Coastal Management Program gave local communities greater input into development on federal land in their backyards. It also streamlined the permitting activities of various state and federal agencies. Legislation introduced this year to reauthorize the program with similar language to the initiative appears unlikely to pass. The Regulatory Commission of Alaska has given Juneau's garbage collection company the go-ahead to implement a new automated roll cart service, but the RCA has not yet approved a monthly container fee for specially designed trash cans. The commission on Friday issued an order saying the Alaska Pacific Environmental Services, which owns Arrow Refuse, could roll out the new service while commissioners investigate the monthly container fee. Alaska Pacific says customers need to use a specially designed trash bin with a gravity-locking lid in order for the service to be fully automated and comply with Juneau's garbage ordinances. Alaska Pacific had argued the container fee was a non-regulated service not subject to review by the RCA, but the commission says that it's a matter for it to decide. The RCA plans to hold hearings in the case and issue a decision by middle of September. Alaska Pacific Environmental Services has not yet said when it plans to introduce the new system. A spokesman for the company said yesterday that it would release a statement at some point. In the meantime, Alaska Pacific has agreed to cap the monthly fee at $2.95 for a 96-gallon container and $2.75 for a 48-gallon container. Under the plan, rates for garbage collection in Juneau will initially go down for some customers and up slightly for others. In its order, the RCA also granted Alaska Pacific some extra time to make the case for a permanent rate for a new service. The company will undertake the cost of service study in 2013 and must file for a new rate by middle of September of 2014. In market news this morning, the price of Brent crude oil is $124.85 a barrel this morning. West Texas Intermediate is at $104.18 a barrel. Zinc is currently down in New York spot market trading, currently at 90 cents a pound, and lead also down currently at 92 cents a pound. Latest forecast for the Capital City calls for some scattered rain showers this morning. High today about 49 degrees with some decreasing clouds tonight. Low temperature about 30 degrees. Some clouds for tomorrow. Possibility of some clear and sunny conditions for tomorrow night and Thursday. Temperatures all the way between 32 and 50 degrees. And currently at the Juneau Airport, 32 degrees. Alaska Airlines says flights running on time this morning. I'm Matt Miller. That's a look at news and weather for this half hour. Good morning. In some of the news this morning, Mike Chenault, the Speaker of the State House, says it's very unlikely an oil tax bill will pass before the legislative session's scheduled adjournment in 2 weeks. That raises the potential for a special session, but that's not a foregone conclusion. Representative Craig Johnson says House members will analyze the bill to see if it accomplishes the goals of generating investment and boosting production. One option includes taking up the measure next year. The Senate Finance Committee is working on a bill. Co-chairman Bert Stedman said it would be nice to have a rewrite of Senate Bill 192 before the committee by the week's end. That would leave the House days to consider the proposal if an April 15th adjournment is to be met. A measure that would allow judges to consider FASD as a mitigating factor in criminal sentencing had a hearing in the Senate Finance Committee on Monday. FASD stands for Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorders. It refers to the range of conditions experienced by children whose mothers drank alcohol while pregnant. Many of the disorders can impair brain function, including how the person with FASD uses judgment and processes information. Senate Bill 151 gives judges the option of considering FASD as a mitigating factor if it's clear the defendant's condition significantly affected their conduct. But Anchorage Republican Kevin Meyer, the bill's sponsor, says it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card with people or for people with FASD.
What we see is a lot of times folks who suffer from this, a lot of times we end up throwing them in our correction system, and then that becomes their way of life. So what we're saying is that, hey, maybe a long jail sentence for some of the crimes isn't the right thing to help these folks.
Meyer says the bill accomplishes what Alaska Supreme Court Chief Justice Walter Carpenetti and other legal experts have told lawmakers about the need for more flexibility in the state's legal system. The Senate Finance Committee held the bill over for another hearing. A survey of Juneau's homeless community identifies 74% as vulnerable because of health issues, substance abuse, or mental illness. More than a third are veterans. Volunteers last week conducted the Vulnerability Index Survey to compile a registry of those considered most in need. Survey organizer Keel Rennick says the average time spent on the streets was 10 years.
It is very difficult to get off the streets in Juneau, and once a person has perhaps reached the stage that we were targeting with this survey.
Rennick last night presented some of the survey results to the Juneau Assembly Human Resources Committee, which has been working on the homeless issue for several months. While the city's homeless population is estimated at 560, the surveys targeted a specific group who live mostly without any shelter and often have many other problems. The survey, sponsored by the Alaska Mental Health Trust, is based on a vulnerability index of health and lifestyle risk factors that contribute to a person's early death on the streets.
Aspects of vulnerability include a person's age, their ER or hospital frequency, their health conditions such as tuberculosis, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, things like that, physical disabilities and traumatic brain injury, alcohol or substance abuse, mental health issues, and a few other factors.
Rennick says the Juneau survey reached 47 individuals ranging in age from 21 to 74 with an average age of 47. Most were males. 60% of those considered vulnerable were Alaska Native. 26% were white, while the rest were African American and other races. 37% of the vulnerable were veterans. Nearly half of those surveyed had a brain injury or head trauma. More than half had a history of mental illness, while nearly 90% had a history of alcohol or drug abuse. And Rennick says he's still compiling data. Juneau is one of 114 U.S. cities to join the national 100,000 Homes campaign to identify the most needy individuals and families and find them shelter by the middle of next year. Juneau's long-range plan for the Willoughby District will become part of the city and borough's comprehensive plan. The Assembly Monday night voted to include Chapter 5, which lays out the planning and design principles for future improvements in the area west of downtown and east of Gold Creek. The new Willoughby District Land Use Plan is intended as a 25-year blueprint for investment and redevelopment. Including it in the CBJ Comprehensive Plan will support proposed changes to Title 49, which is the CBJ's land use code. The state of Alaska and the city own a number of public facilities in the Willoughby District, including the State Archives and Museum that will be part of the future SLAM project, or State Library, Archives, and Museum. The city owns Centennial Hall and the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. CBJ Lands and Resources Manager Heather Marlowe said the plan includes an energy district and centralized heating for public facilities, possibly through pellet boilers.
We've taken a look at the square footage of public facilities in the district. We're working with Bob Deering of the Coast Guard, who's working with the Energy Department, and they're trying to determine whether, just from the public facility side, we have enough square footage to justify doing an energy district with distributed heat throughout the district.
Marlowe says an energy district would reduce energy costs as well as Juneau's carbon emissions. The Willoughby District is also seen as providing an opportunity for a mix of residential and retail development, including 400 new housing units. And bonds for Auk Bay Elementary School renovation and a new turf at Adair Kennedy Park will be sold in two installments over the next 2 years. The Assembly last night voted for a change as a way to reduce future debt service. The first bonds for nearly $13.2 million would be issued in August. A second bond sale in July of 2013 would be for $8.1 million. The bonds will be issued for a 10-year term. Juneau voters approved the renovation bonds in 2010. Last fall, voters approved bonds for the Auk Bay School ground source heat system and resurfacing of the Adair Kennedy turf field. The projects qualify for 70% reimbursement by the state. The remaining debt service on the bonds would be paid from local property tax, estimated to be about $10 per $100,000 in assessed value. Weather forecast calls for some scattered rain showers for the capital city this morning. High today about 49 degrees with some decreasing clouds tonight and partly cloudy skies for tomorrow. Low temperature tonight just under freezing. Could get up as high as 50 degrees with the possibility of some clear and sunny conditions for Wednesday and Thursday. Currently at the Juneau Airport, 33 degrees. I'm Matt Miller, and that's a look at news and weather for this half hour. Good morning. In some of the news this morning, Anchorage police say that a dive team has found a body believed to be that of an Alaska coffee shop worker who vanished February 1st. Police Chief Mark Muse said last night that officers believe divers recovered the body of 18-year-old Samantha Koenig from Matanuska Lake north of Anchorage. Muse said authorities believe the killer acted alone and added, "We're confident we have that person in custody." Although he mentioned no names, the only person who has been linked to the case is 34-year-old Israel Keys, who was arrested last month on unrelated charges. Surveillance video from the night Koenig was last seen showed her being led away from her coffee stand. Police say they believe the Anchorage woman died within hours of her abduction. Anchorage voters are going to the polls today. Voters will decide on a new mayor. Dan Sullivan is seeking re-election but faces a challenge from former police officer and assembly member Paul Honeman. Anchorage residents will also decide the fate of Proposition 5, and that asks whether municipal protections against discrimination based on race, sex, religion, marital status, and other factors should be amended to include sexual orientation and transgender identity. For some reason, Juneau residents received robocalls to vote no on Prop 5 yesterday. Nationally, 13 states, 134 cities and counties, and the District of Columbia have discrimination laws for private entities that include protections for transgender individuals. According to figures from the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, Alaska has no such law. Opening arguments are planned for today in the case of a Juneau man charged with firing a handgun that wounded another man in December. 36-year-old Kenneth Nalen is being charged with felony assault. Prosecutors say Nalen shot a friend, 33-year-old John Duran, with a .357 caliber handgun. It happened during a get-together at Nalen's house in the Valley just before Christmas. Duran required facial reconstruction surgery after he was shot. After nearly 5 hours of voir dire, or questioning of potential jurors yesterday, a six-man, eight-woman jury was seated. Two jurors will be randomly selected as alternates and excused just before deliberations get underway in the case. Among the jury pool, a member of Judicial Services, a special detachment of state officers responsible for transporting inmates from Lemon Creek Correctional Center to the Diamond Courthouse and back. The officer wanted to make it clear that he had transported Nalen a few times for previous court appearances, but he was not privy to any confidential information about the defendant. He was allowed to remain on the jury. Also remaining, a woman who expressed concern that she was not asked during voir dire about her own experiences with firearms. She recounted at least two instances in which friends or acquaintances had been involved in tragic or nearly tragic shootings. After the newly seated jury had been excused for the day yesterday, public defender Eric Hedlund suggested that he may make a case for a form of self-defense during the incident. A Fairbanks woman has been charged with submitting fraudulent signatures for the Alaska Coastal Management Program initiative. Deborah A. Carroll faces five felony and misdemeanor charges, including forgery, unsworn falsification, and perjury. Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello is chairman of the Alaska Sea Party, the group behind the Coastal Management Initiative, and he says group officials noticed the forgeries the night before submitting their petition books to the State Division of Elections.
It was quite evident, just as a layperson looking through, that the signatures, the handwriting throughout, looked suspiciously similar, so we withheld it. The following week, I delivered this booklet to the Office of Special Prosecutions, and they in turn delivered it to the state troopers for an investigation that resulted in a criminal complaint.
The charges were originally announced by Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell's office, which erroneously said Carroll was hired by the Sea Party. Botello said the group did not have a direct relationship with Carroll. She was employed by consultant Scott Kohas, who organized much of the group's signature gathering effort in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and the Mat-Su. Botello says one isolated incident should not diminish the efforts of dozens of volunteers who collected nearly 30,000 valid signatures in less than a month to put the Coastal Management Initiative on this year's ballot.
Throughout the process, I frankly had expected that our signature gatherers would bring integrity to the process, and 99.5% of them did.
Carroll is scheduled to be arraigned in Fairbanks Friday, April 13th. And before closing last year, the Alaska Coastal Management Program gave local communities greater input into development on federal land in their backyards. It also streamlined the permitting activities of various state and federal agencies. Cream puffs are the subject of a recall. The State Department of Environmental Conservation says in a release that two products from Cream Curls Bakery have been recalled. They include 19.4-ounce cartons of Simply Enjoy Vanilla Cream Puffs and 13.2-ounce cartons of Cream Curls Bakery Vanilla Cream Pearls. And officials say the recall is because they contain sodium caseinate, which was not listed as a derivative of milk. The state says people who have milk allergies could have serious or even life-threatening reactions. So far, no illnesses have been reported in Alaska. And the Coast Guard is continuing to track that fishing boat that was cast out to sea from last year's earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Chief Petty Officer Janelle Webster at the command center here in Juneau says the derelict vessel is now about 170 miles west of Dahl Island, or the southwest corner of Prince of Wales Island here in southeast. Webster says a C-130 aircraft did an overflight Saturday and yesterday. Another flight may be conducted today to check on the condition of the vessel named Yuron Maru and believed between 150 and 180 feet long. A notice to mariners has been issued for any traffic in the area to be aware of the unmanned ghost ship, which has no operating lights. Debris from the tsunami, such as oyster buoys, have already been reported ashore along the southern coast of Alaska, and so far this is the first and only ship that's been spotted cast adrift across the Pacific Ocean. And if you want to see a picture of the vessel and also some video from Coast Guard pilots as they did their overflight over the weekend, you can check that out on our website at ktoonews.org. Weather forecast for the capital city calls for a chance of rain showers for most of this morning and then a possibility of some decreasing clouds tonight with temperatures between 30 and 49 degrees. Currently 33 degrees in the capital city. I'm Matt Miller, and that's a look at news and weather for this half hour. Good morning, I'm Matt Miller with this news update. The Regulatory Commission of Alaska has given Juneau's garbage collection company the go-ahead to implement a new automated roll cart service. But the RCA has not yet approved a monthly container fee for specially designed trash cans. The commission on Friday issued an order saying Alaska Pacific Environmental Services, which owns Arrow Refuse, could roll out the new service while commissioners investigate the monthly container fee. Alaska Pacific says customers need to use a specially designed trash bin with a gravity-locking lid in order for the service to be fully automated and comply with Juneau's garbage ordinances. Alaska Pacific had argued the container fee was a non-regulated service, not subject to review by the RCA, but the commission says that it's a matter for it to decide. The RCA plans to hold hearings in the case and issue a decision by middle of September. Alaska Pacific Environmental Services has not said when it plans to introduce the new system. A spokesman for the company said yesterday that it would release a statement at some point. In the meantime, Alaska Pacific has agreed to cap the monthly fee at $2.95 for a 96-gallon container and $2.75 for a 48-gallon container. Under the plan, rates for the garbage collection in Juneau will initially go down for some customers and up slightly for others. In its order, the RCA also granted Alaska Pacific extra time to make the case for a permanent rate for the new service. The company will undertake a cost of service study next year and must file for a new rate by middle of September of 2014. A survey of Juneau's homeless community identifies 74% as vulnerable because of health issues, substance abuse, or mental illness. More than a third are veterans. Volunteers last week conducted the Vulnerability Index survey to compile a registry of those considered most in need. Survey organizer Keel Rennick says the average time spent on the streets was 10 years.
It is very difficult to get off the streets in Juneau, and once a person has perhaps reached the stage that we were targeting with this survey.
Rennick last night presented some of the survey results to the Juneau Assembly's Human Resources Committee, which has been working on the homeless issue for several months. While the city's homeless population is estimated at 560, the surveys targeted a specific group who live mostly without any shelter and often have many other problems. The survey, which is sponsored by the Alaska Mental Health Trust, is based on a vulnerability index of health and lifestyle risk factors that contribute to a person's early death on the streets.
Aspects of vulnerability include a person's age, their ER or hospital frequency, their health conditions such as tuberculosis, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, things like that, physical disabilities and traumatic brain injury, alcohol or substance abuse, mental health issues, and a few other factors.
Rennick says the general survey reached 47 individuals ranging in age from 21 to 74, with an average age of 47. Most were males. 60% of those considered vulnerable were Alaska Native, 26% were white or Caucasian, while the rest were African American and other races. 37% of the vulnerable were veterans. Nearly half of those surveyed had a brain injury or head trauma. More than half have a history of mental illness, while nearly 90% have had a history of alcohol or drug abuse. And Rennick says he's still compiling data. Juneau is one of 114 cities around the country to join the National 100,000 Homes campaign to identify the most needy individuals and families and find them shelter by the middle of next year. Juneau's long-range plan for the Willoughby District will become part of the city and borough's comprehensive plan. The Assembly last night voted to include Chapter 5, which lays out the planning and design principles for future improvements in the area west of downtown and east of Gold Creek. The new Willoughby District land use plan is intended as a 25-year blueprint for investment and redevelopment. Including it in the CBJ comprehensive plan will support proposed changes to Title 49, which is CBJ's land use code. The state and the city own a number of public facilities in the Willoughby District, including the State Archives and Museum that will be part of the future SLAM project, or State Library, Archives, and Museum. The city owns Centennial Hall and the Juneau Arts and Culture Center, or the JAC. CBJ Lands and Resources Manager Heather Marlowe said the plan includes an energy district and centralized heating for public facilities, possibly through pellet boilers.
We've taken a look at the square footage of public facilities in the district. We're working with Bob Deering of the Coast Guard, who's working with the Energy Department, and they're trying to determine whether, just from the public facility side, we have enough square footage to justify doing an energy district with distributed heat throughout the district.
Marlowe says an energy district would reduce energy costs as well as Juneau's carbon emissions. The Willoughby District is also seen as providing an opportunity for a mix of residential and retail development, including 400 new housing units. And now some news from outside of Juneau. Sitka Herring Seniors had a second opener yesterday morning starting at 11:30 with over 24,000 tons left to catch. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game allowed fishermen most of the day yesterday to work. Fishing was finally closed at about 4:40 yesterday afternoon. No word yet on the size of yesterday's harvest. The first opening of the 2012 Sitka Sack Row herring fishery was Saturday. Seniors then brought in about 4,700 tons in about 3.5 hours, according to preliminary estimates from Fish and Game. Fishing remains concentrated in the northwestern part of Sitka Sound. Weather forecast for the Capital City area calls for some scattered rain showers for most of this morning. High temperature today about 49 degrees and some decreasing clouds tonight. Maybe some clouds tomorrow and a possibility of clear and sunny conditions by Wednesday night and Thursday. Temperatures between 32 and 50 degrees. I'm Matt Miller. That's a look at news and weather for this half hour. Good morning. I'm Matt Miller with this local and state news update. Anchorage police say a dive team has found a body believed to be that of a coffee shop worker who vanished February 1st. Police said yesterday evening that a body believed to be that of 18-year-old Samantha Koenig was recovered from Matanuska Lake north of Anchorage. Surveillance video on the night Koenig was last seen showed her being led away from her coffee stand. Police say they believe the Anchorage woman died within hours of her abduction. The Alaska Redistricting Board plans to meet Thursday to formally adopt a plan redrawing the state's political boundaries. The board's executive director, Taylor Bickford, says the plan is substantially similar to one sent back by the Alaska Supreme Court, though there are some key differences. One example includes the Aleutian Chain. It's not split this time. And Bickford says Fairbanks' two Democratic senators, Joe Thomas and Joe Pascvan, will not be forced to run against each other. The court ordered the board to redraw its plan following a process laid out in an earlier case. The latest plan must still be submitted to the Superior Court for approval and also the U.S. Justice Department. a bill that would allow judges to consider FASD as a mitigating factor in criminal sentencing had a hearing in the Senate Finance Committee yesterday. FASD stands for fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. It refers to the range of conditions experienced by children whose mothers drank alcohol while pregnant. Many of the disorders can impair brain function, including how the person with FASD uses judgment and processes information. Senate Bill 151 gives judges the option of considering FASD as a mitigating factor if it's clear the defendant's conditions significantly affected their conduct. But Anchorage Republican Kevin Meyer, the bill's sponsor, says it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card for people with FASD.
What we see is a lot of times folks who suffer from this, a lot of times we end up throwing them in our correction system, and then that becomes their way of life. So what we're saying is that, hey, maybe a long jail sentence for some of the crimes isn't the right thing to help these folks.
Meyer says the bill helps accomplish what Alaska Supreme Court Chief Justice Walter Carpenedi and other legal experts have told lawmakers about the need for more flexibility in the state's legal system. The Senate Finance Committee held the bill over for another hearing. Bonds for Ock Bay Elementary School renovation and new turf at Adair Kennedy Park will be sold in two installments over the next 2 years. The Assembly last night voted for the change as a way to reduce future debt service. The first bonds for nearly $13.2 million will be issued in August. Second bond sale in July of 2013 would be for $8.1 million. The bonds will be issued for a 10-year term. Juneau voters approved the renovation bonds in 2010. Last fall, voters approved bonds for the Ock Bay School ground source heat system and resurfacing of the Adair Kennedy turf field. The projects qualify for 70% reimbursement by the state, and the remaining debt service on the bonds will be paid for by local property taxes, which is estimated to be about $10 per $100,000 in assessed value. Anchorage voters are going to the polls today. Voters will decide on a new mayor. Dan Sullivan is seeking re-election but faces a challenge from former police officer and Assemblymember Paul Honeman. Anchorage residents will also decide the fate of Proposition 5, which asks whether municipal protections against discrimination based on race, sex, religion, marital status, and other factors should be amended to include sexual orientation and transgender identity. And cream puffs are the subject of a recall. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation says in a release that two products from Cream Curls Bakery have been recalled. They include 19.4-ounce cartons of Simply Enjoy Vanilla Cream Puffs and 13.2-ounce cartons of Cream Curls Bakery Vanilla Cream Pulls. Officials say the recall is because they contain sodium caseinate, which was not listed as a derivative of milk. And the state says people who have milk allergies could have serious or even life-threatening reactions. No illnesses yet reported in Alaska. Weather forecast for the capital city calls for scattered rain showers this morning, decreasing clouds tonight, and a possibility of some clear skies, maybe even some sun by Thursday. Temperatures today between 30 and 49 degrees. I'm Matt Miller, and that's a look at news and weather for this half hour.